It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Okay, then see what this man does. Verse 24.
And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief.
See, right now this man came to know, I was the one doubting. I was the one not believing. So he said, I don't know how to believe. Sometimes people say, I don't know how to believe. This man got the idea. He says, please help me to take away my unbelief so I can believe. So the word of God says, faith comes by what? Hearing the word of God. You keep on listening to the word of God. You go to church and you hear the testimony of people, what God did, the miracles for them. And somebody says, if God did it for that person, he will do it for me. Because you heard somebody saying something. So the word of God says faith comes by hearing the word of God. Not only that, Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. Book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. He says, looking unto Jesus, when you have lack of faith, look into Jesus and say, Jesus, you are the creator of faith. You can give me faith. I am doubting. I have no strength. I am weak, just like this man. And cry to God, Lord, I need faith. When you pray, what you need? A faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We need faith in God. And so when this man got a faith and he said, Lord, please pray, help me to take unbelief from my heart and I want to believe. And he believed. Verse 25.
When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him.
When Jesus talking to this man about his unbelief, and here the battle is going on, so the child might be crying loud, and people might be thinking, what's happening? This child is suffering here, and Jesus is talking to this man, so more people gather to see what's happening. Verse 26.
And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead.
Now see what Jesus Christ said to this child. Dumb and deaf spirit, come out of this child or come out of this person and what? Never enter back to this child or this person. When you cast the devil out from somebody, give the command to that devil, never again come to this house. Never again come to my life. Get out of my life once and for all. Otherwise, the word of God says the devil goes and look around and see if that house is nice and clean. I came out of that person supposed to go to church, praise God, busy with God, but now he's not doing anything like that. So I'm going to go back to him. And the word of God says he brings seven demons more and make that person's life more miserable. Jesus Christ says, get out of this child, never enter again. And then devil came out of this child, cried like this last battle he did. And he came out of this child, and that child was like a dead on the floor. It was not dead, but it felt like he's dead. So everybody starts saying, oh, this child is dead. But what Jesus did, verse 27.
But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose.
See, just think that the devil wanted to kill this child. And almost this child was helpless, lifeless, because that devil almost killed him. Maybe he was tired to do anything. And people thought he's dead, so he gave his hand. As soon as Jesus touches this child, what happens? Full strength, full power, full energy comes, and that child rose and stood in front of Father. Can you imagine this father taking care of this child from the childhood. This father saw this child going in the fire, going in the water, and destroying his life. And how many years and years he suffered. Now, for the first time, this child is not only free from these demonic forces, that child never talked and never heard any word. Can you imagine? He never heard the voice of father. He never spoke a word to father because he was deaf and dumb. Jesus Christ commanded, dumb and deaf spirit, get out of this child and never turn back or never come back. This boy was completely healed and completely healthy, even though they thought he's dead. He just touched him, lifted him up, and he's standing strong, healthy boy in front of his father. If this child suffered a lot, how much that father will be happy seeing his child completely healed. Verse 28.
And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing, but by prayer and fasting.
Now, how do you know what kind of demon will not come? He said, this kind. Now somebody says, deaf and dumb spirit kind of person. But God has given us power. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. God has given us much more power than the devil. We have to recognize that. If we are afraid of devil, he will jump on you. There was a man came to our church and he was preaching and he said, if you are afraid, please get out of this room because I'm going to cast some devil out. So if you are afraid, he's going to jump on you. So the people were so scared that the devil will come jumping on them. But the devil will not come to you. You cannot possess by demon if you are born again child of God. That's why it's very important to get saved. Please read.
Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
See what he's saying there. Ye are of God's little children. If you are really born again child of God, just think that today you got saved. You have power more than a devil. Whatever the devil's power is, you have greater power than him. You don't have to be 20, 30, 40 years in ministry. The day you get born again, God gives you supernatural power to you. Even though you're a little baby in Christ, you have more power than devil. He cannot do anything to you because you have powerhouse. When you receive Jesus Christ says, I will bring my Father and we will make our home in you. So the Father and Son lives in you. And once you receive the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, triune God lives in you. Do you think that devil has any power over you? No. We can defeat the devil. The devil only jump on the people who are belong to him or not walking according to the word of God. And those are the people will have problem with devil, but not us, because we have power over the demonic forces. Okay, let's go back to the Mark chapter 9, verse 30.
And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day.
When he was talking to his disciple, he didn't want anybody to come and listen what he was saying. So he took them aside. Away from other people, he didn't want anybody to listen what he was saying. So only disciples, he was saying, what is going to happen to him? He said, the Son of Man will be delivered unto the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise again the third day. He didn't want other people to know, only his disciples. That's why he said, these things, please don't tell anybody until the resurrection. Okay. Verse 32.
But they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask him.
See, their eyes might be blinded. Many times he talked about the death and resurrection, they didn't understand. And they had fear that how should we ask Jesus Christ about this death and burial and resurrection. They didn't understand and they didn't ask the question. Verse 33.
And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way?" But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest.
Now, when they were walking, they were coming. Jesus might be going a little bit ahead of them, and this, all these 12 people talking together. And they were thinking about who will be the greatest among us when we go to the heaven, who will be big and who will be small. So that's the kind of discussion they were doing. That Jesus says, "What were you talking?" But nobody had the courage to tell what the discussion they were doing. So Jesus, see how he understood what they were saying. From his talk, you would know. Read the verse 35.
And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto him, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, and servant of all." And he took a child, and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, "Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me." And John answered him, saying, "Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him, because he followeth not us."
Now here, see, two things happen. One thing they were discussing, who will be first, who will be last, who will be greatest. So Jesus took a little child, kept middle of them, and started saying, "You have to be like the child." What he was trying to say? Child is innocent. Child doesn't know the color, black, white, friend, enemy, nothing. You might have an enemy fighting with that person, but if that person has a baby 4 years or 3 years old, and you have 3 years old baby, they will be coming and playing. They would not know my father and my mother, they fight with those people. They don't know anything. They will be innocent, loving to each other. So Jesus Christ said, you should be like these babies. And he says, if anyone respect this child, means they have to know this child is innocent. You have to be innocent. You protect that child, then God will honor that person. Now today, how many people are honoring little babies? They are aborting those babies. Do you think those doctors and those nurses and those mothers will go to heaven? No. Only one way they will go. They have to repent if they did something wrong, and they ask God forgiveness, then they will be forgiven. So Jesus Christ is saying, if somebody does something like that, then that person should be punished. We'll be reading a little further. Then John says something he was bothering to him. He said, while we were coming, there was a one man casting the devil in the name of Jesus. And he was not in our group. So we told him, hey, don't do that, because you are not in our group. What Jesus Christ says? Let's read verse 39.
But Jesus said, "Forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me."
So what Jesus Christ is saying, if he's not against us, he's not our enemy. Let him do what he wants to do. If somebody is preaching the gospel, and if he's not belong to our church, we cannot say, hey, you're not coming to our church. Why are you preaching in front of our church? The Jesus Christ is saying, if anyone respect Jesus Christ, he is not going to say anything bad about Jesus. He is not our enemy. In short, if there is a person, he might be from India, Africa, Pakistan, Japan, or any other country. If they are a believer, who are they? They are our brothers and our sisters. They are born in the family of God. We should not be putting somebody up and putting somebody down. So that's why Jesus Christ says you should not be having this kind of jealousy spirit. If he's not belong to us, he should not be doing anything for Christ. And so indirectly Jesus Christ called him. Verse 40.
For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea.
See now, Jesus Christ is saying, if you help the man of God, the pastor or preacher, comes to your town, give him a glass of water, give him something to drink, or give him some money, what would happen? You will never lose your reward. Because if you're helping the man of God, you are helping the God's ministry. And so the God is not here physically. His servants are here. So we're supposed to respect the servant of God and give them something to drink and find out their needs. When I was in India, and I was not married at that time, when I was serving, there were so many mothers. They will be very careful. They will say, oh, Pastor Peter, your hair is a little bit longer. Could you please cut? If you don't have money, I'll give money for haircut. And somebody says, oh, your collar is torn. Don't you have money to buy clothes? Here is the money, buy clothes, and something like that. So the Word of God says that when they take care of the believers or the workers, they will be rewarded. If the people love the man of God and they give him water, they give him food, they give him clothes, or they give him money, they are not going to lose their reward. They are going to be rewarded. But the against of that, if somebody, little one means he's saying, anyone is a little one who believes. He's not talking about baby. If any born again believers, maybe a newborn or maybe a servant of God. Let's read the verse 42 one more time. Please read.
And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea.
What he's trying to say, if somebody believes in me, it's not a little baby, somebody believes in me as Lord and Savior, and you come to harass that person, he says it is better for that person to hang the millstone in his neck and throw him in the sea. What would happen to that man? He will be dead. He said that person should have death penalty. Now, if somebody say Jesus Christ was against death penalty, here is the word. So the Jesus Christ was favoring the death penalty. If you do something wrong to the innocent babies or aborting them or the person who believes in Jesus Christ and you just harass them and kill them or destroy them. I saw some Christian people, they were running for their life and these Muslim people were killing them. And even though they went to the mountain and God protected them, worst time is coming to this country. Pretty soon the tsunami came. And that country had a worse time in the history of their trouble. So you cannot play game with the children of God. If you try to harass the Christians, the people will suffer most. Okay, verse 43.
And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life, than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye, than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another.
See what he's trying to say. He gave the three examples, and exactly he said, if you have two hands and one hand is committing sin, doing robbery, doing mischiefs, killing somebody, destroying somebody, cut that hand off. Means you don't need that hand. It is better to be one hand and go into heaven. Then he gives the feet and the eyes. Each and every organ God has given to us. For what? For his glory. You remember that blind man? He says, how this man became blind? His mother and father committed sin or he committed? He said, no. He was born this way, so the God side. So each and every organ God has given to us for his glory. Not to destroy somebody with this hand, but to help. Not to kick somebody with this foot, but to go 1 mile further to help that person. Same way God has given 2 eyes, not to look at something and say, this is mine, and I want this, and I want that, and everything I look is mine. The Word of God says, it is better to have 1 eye, 1 hand, 1 foot, and go to heaven. So what he's trying to say, we are here to help one another. And then he gives an example. He says, if the salt is lost his saltiness, what is good? That salt, we cannot use it. Salt is good. So he gave the example, we are the salt. I'm going to give a couple of verses and then we're going to finish. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Jesus Christ, he said, you are the salt of the earth. What does salt do? You know, salt makes food tasty. And salt keeps food preserved. Like in those days, we didn't have the refrigerator. Then they want to keep the fish for a longer time. They make the fish salty. And so put the salt too much so the fish can stay longer period of time. The salt can preserve things and salt can make your food tasty. It's a good thing. So he said, if salt lost his taste, what are you going to do? Well, go ahead.
Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men.
So what he's trying to say, if we are a salt, do the work as a salt work. So we should be tasty. We should be preserving their life, not allowing them to go to hell. Otherwise, our life will be worthless. People will be putting you under their feet. So we don't want to live life like that. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. He says, when we speaking, our speech should be tasty.
Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man.
See, we should be having grace and what? Season with salt. When we talk to somebody, don't talk with the anger, don't talk with the frustration, don't try to put somebody down. Use the words so they can touch their hearts and change their hearts or feel like you are concerned about them. And so the Word of God is saying, we are the salt of the earth. Do the work the salt does and makes things good and makes things preserved. So we are here not to allow people to go to hell, but by grace save them for eternity. Means preserve them for eternal life. Book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 1.
And he arose from thence and cometh into the coasts of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. And the people resort unto him again, and, as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him?
Okay, here Jesus Christ, he came here and he wanted to teach people. I don't know what subject he was teaching, but Pharisees asking him a question. And the Word of God says, why they ask the question? Not to learn anything, but find faults. There are some people, they want to learn something and curious about something. And there are some people, they know something and they want to find fault at teacher how much he knows. So this is the situation. They come to Jesus Christ and asking a question, is it lawful for man to put away his wife? And they are just trying to find out what he's going to answer.
And he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away.
When Jesus said, what the Moses commanded you? They said, okay, Moses told us, just give her the divorce certificate and let her go. Go to the Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 1 to 4.
When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement, and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her, and write her a bill of divorcement, and giveth it in her hand, and sendeth her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife. Her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife, after that she is defiled, for that is abomination before the Lord. And thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance.
Now see, this is a good law, but at that time people do know why God said these things. Because one lady goes, her husband divorced that wife, and that wife goes to somebody else, and that husband divorced, and then she comes back, she's going to bring some disease or some kind of problem to the first husband. But in those days, man had the power to find any fault, any reason they can divorce the wife. There is no record in the Bible that any lady divorced the man. Only man divorced the wife. But now today's society, anybody can divorce anybody. And so the Jesus Christ said, this is what the Moses said, but why he said, go back to the Mark. Why Moses said that? Because he says, because of your hardness of heart. Verse 5.
And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and cleave to his wife. And they twain shall be one flesh, so then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder.
Okay, now Jesus Christ said very plainly, because of your hardness of heart, Moses told you people to divorce. What he's trying to teach us? He's trying to say, if there was a fault in the lady, sometimes people make a mistake. If that lady says, I'm sorry, he should be forgiving each other. But he says, your heart was so hardened, and that's why Moses gave this law. God did not create male and female for this reason to be separated. And we read in the Word of God that how God created man. Let's go to the Genesis chapter 2 and verse 21 to 24.
And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
See, this was the plan of God. Put the man to sleep. That's why people found out anesthesia. Our God is the first surgeon who put the man to sleep and then took the rib right underneath from his heart and then take the bone, that rib has a bone, and form a lady. So that's so much miracle what he did. And then when he brings to the man recognizes. He said, this is my flesh and this is my bone.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.